Nice to see you all, and I hope you had a good rest. I was reflecting that one of the advantages of a online retreat is that you get to sleep in your own bed instead of a bunk room or a dormitory or a tent. So each morning at this time, Jill and I would like to offer some instructions, some meditation instructions for the day. And actually, I've just noticed there's one more person here. So welcome to Art. Yes, he can hear, who I think is joining us from the United States. So a warm welcome to you. Lovely to have you with us. Good. So yes, so at this time, Dani, there'll be some instructions given. And what I'd like to do today is give an overview of the instructions for the retreat and then focus on instructions for today. So just to begin, what is insight meditation? And I think that insight meditation is about essentially understanding what it is for us to be awake. And I've just realized I haven't pushed the record button. Let's do that now. Right. So insight meditation is essentially about understanding what it means for us to be awake, understanding that for ourselves, and to be conscious and connected to our life and sensitive to our experience, but also free in our relationship to our experience. So we're orienting ourselves towards wakefulness. And it's a process of exploring, of understanding, and of becoming intimate with what's happening in each moment. So we're exploring what helps us to be awake, what supports us to be connected with our experience, to be intimate with it, and to see clearly, so that we discover what supports deep well-being. And the word in Pali for meditation is bhavana, which means to cultivate or develop or to grow something, a little bit like gardening. So we're cultivating, we're growing wholesome things, and we're seeing here what soil, what sort of soil and what qualities will support that. So everything that we experience can be part of that cultivation or meditation, and there's no need to exclude anything. So the practice we'll take up this week is the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, and it's based on the Satipatthana Sutta, the teachings of the Buddha, and the Satipatthana Sutta contains some of the most loved teachings of the Buddha. And the Buddha called this practice the most direct way to the purification of mind and realization for all beings. He said that mindfulness of the four foundations leads to transcending sorrow, pain, lamentation, grief, and despair. In other words, it leads to transcending suffering. So the word sati, S-A-T-I, means mindfulness, and patthana means foundation, and the word upatthana in Pali means ways or establishing. So when we put that together, we get ways of establishing mindfulness, establishments, four establishments of mindfulness. And the first establishment or first foundation is body, which includes breath, sensations, posture, and movement. The second foundation is the feeling tone of the experience. The third foundation is mind, so emotions, thoughts, mental states, moods. And the fourth foundation is dharmas. So dharmas means the liberating teachings of wisdom and compassion. It means the whole map of the way things are, and it's the framework for our practice. So these are the foundations of mindfulness that we'll be taking up during this week. And we use certain objects of attention because they serve to settle the mind, heart, and body, and help us handle some of the reactive, difficult states when they arise. We start with the aspects of experience that are easier to pay attention to, so the breath, the body, and then we open to the more subtle and ephemeral aspects of our experience, thoughts, the more fleeting ones. And as our mindfulness develops and grows stronger and steadier, we can gradually extend that field of our awareness outwards until ultimately all of our experience is included. So I think it's useful just to spend a couple of minutes looking at what is mindfulness, because it's become really mainstream. It's out there. There's quite a lot of ideas about what mindfulness is. And a dear Dharma friend and teacher in France, I like his definition of mindfulness. He calls it giving close, curious, and caring attention in an immediate embodied way to what's happening for the purpose of understanding our experience more fully and allowing experience to unfold more freely. And what I like about his definition is that it's not just talking about what we're doing, but it's talking about the intention behind it. It's for the purpose of understanding and for allowing freedom in the unfolding of our experience. So some aspects of mindfulness. Mindfulness includes the capacity to be present in a non-interfering, non-judgmental kind of way with bare attention. And it has a quality of intimacy. So we draw closer to our experience, we engage with it, we open to it, we connect with it, and not picking and choosing our experience, but really with all experience. And the earth doesn't mind what falls upon it. And the sky doesn't mind when clouds cross it. So bringing that kind of quality of acceptance to whatever arises in our experience. And it's also a practice of remembering. And I really like this word remembering because it means both remembering to come back, but it also means remembering. So reconnecting with the body. You know, we talk about limbs as members, don't we? So when the mind wanders off into stories of yesterday, conversations that we've had, or speculation or anxiety about the future, the practice of remembering is to come back and return to the object of the attention, to the present moment, because it's only in the present moment that we're truly alive. We're engaged with our experiences and when we find connection. And in the present moment is where we find love. All of those beautiful qualities are found here. Not in some romantic past thought, not in some future speculation of meeting Mr. Gorgeous or Ms. Wonderful. Love is found here. And our engagement with life as it is. So mindfulness comes from the Pali Sati Sampajanya. And sati, to remember or recall or recollect, to come back to oneself, a sense of gathering the attention to the immediacy of our experience, the knowing of the experience. And Sampajanya is clear comprehension, clear knowing, clarity. So there's the experience and there's the knowing of experience, the breathing and the knowing of the breathing. Clear comprehension also means we see clearly what we're doing. So it gives an understanding of our intentions, our motivations, the motives behind our actions. And Sampajanya has a discerning aspect to it. So we recognize whether what we're doing is beneficial or not beneficial, and whether action is needed and what would be an appropriate response. So that mindfulness is just not this passive practice of receiving, but there's a discernment that tells us whether we need to make a response. And I had an example of this yesterday. I went out for a mindful walk in the central city here, which has lots of big main roads. And I was very mindfully in the rain, crossing the road. And I was really in that receptive kind of mindful state. And I'm crossing the road, noticing my feet, you know, very present. And then there was the noticing car, blue, approaching. And I just noticed there was a second before it clicked in of, oh, feet need to move now. And that's the discernment aspect of it. So the mindfulness is the noticing the road, the walking in the car, and then the discernment part is the bit that says, get yourself across the road. So, and it can be easy for us to slip into that sort of passive receptive response as well. So anyway, in this way, mindfulness also has this guarding function, and it protects the mind from unskillful behavior. So the Buddha talked about it as a cow herder and guarding cows in the field. So that we're gently shepherding the mind back to presence, recollecting and gathering in our attention, bringing the mind back from its habitual distractedness or scatteredness, collecting and gathering in, so that the mind and body becomes unified. And something I think that's really important to notice is that mindfulness actually has a subtle, pleasant quality. It's really helpful to notice this because it really supports our mind to want to come home rather than to engage with our stories, which can be really sticky sometimes. They really draw us in. And we can notice that when we're in this moment now, here, we're not only alive, but there's a spaciousness, a peacefulness. We can rest in this moment. The mind isn't moving towards this or away from that, recoiling from that. It's not reaching out or seeking or grabbing onto anything or trying to get away. It's not trying to figure out the past or analyze it or rehash it. It's not reaching into the future with worry or with fantasy. And all these movements of the mind actually include tension when we look. So they're not peaceful and relaxed. So mindful presence has this pleasant quality, and even when an unpleasant experience comes to visit, We're not interfering with it. We're not manipulating it. We're just being with it, attending to it with care, bearing witness, receiving our life as it comes to us. So we can really attune to that pleasant feeling. So we're really learning to relax in the moment, calm the nervous system, the threat system, the on guard system, and shepherding the attention, shepherding the mind to connect with our experience now. So that's really our first task here, is to learn to arrive, learn to come home in the moment. And there's some qualities which are very helpful to bring to our practice, to mindfulness. And some, there's an important orientation of doing this practice as an act of self-love. Returning to your awareness and wanting to see what's here. Making this radical movement of turning inwards and connecting with ourself. Being there for ourselves. And there's a number of qualities, or I like to think of them as lenses that we're holding this practice through. The first one is kindness. So with whatever we experience, if the mind wanders, we notice the relationship with that. Just very lovingly bringing it back. Making friends with ourselves. And there's a spirit of generosity here, of giving ourselves the space to just explore without judgment, cutting ourselves from some slack. Lowering our expectations of ourselves. You know, sometimes we have incredibly high expectations of ourselves, and then when we don't meet them, we're rather cruel. So, to ourselves. So just bringing that aspect of kindness and generosity. Another quality that it's important to bring is a quality of curiosity or interest. Jill mentioned last night about explore and enjoy. So this is like our laboratory of human experience. So being really interested in this moment of your life, which has never happened before and it will never happen again. Drawing closer to it. Experiment. You know, we don't have to get it right. There is no right. Whatever is happening is what is happening, and we can explore what happens when I respond in this way. And if what happens isn't useful, then we've learned something that's really useful. So there's no failure. There's no getting it wrong here. And another quality is a sense of ease and relaxation. So bringing that to our practice, and rather than trying hard and really efforting, seeing if we can orient towards receptivity with a kind, relaxed, interested attitude. So the first foundation is body and breathing, includes posture and movement. And posture is really important because the way our body is also shapes the mind. Mind and body constantly interact and affect each other. So when we have an upright body, that really supports an alert mind. When we have a relaxed body, that supports a mind of ease. And if we have a sense of alignment in the body so that the energy can flow freely. And we can notice that our breathing also reflects the mind. So when the mind is anxious, the breathing might be fast and light. If we're in a calm, deep, still place, the breathing is usually slower and deeper and smoother. So we're really here inviting ourselves to put the relationship between mind and body under the light of attention and to notice that. And there's no mistake why the Buddha made the body the first foundation of mindfulness, because the body is always present. Body's in the present. It's not in the past or the future. You know, minds can travel to the future or the past. But when we come home to the body, it's in the here and now. Our sensory experience is here and now. So we can really use the body as our anchor and our ground. So insight meditation is about calming the body and mind and observing our experience of the whole mind-body process from a place of stillness and steadiness. Mindfulness helps us to let go of the story mind, to drop down into that calm, still place, let go of the stress and the worries, the preoccupations, the fears and anxieties, the past grievances, the regrets, the reminiscing, the painful memories, so that we're not conditioned by the past or the future. And then we can truly inquire deeply into the nature of existence. In the Satipatthana Sutra, there's a refrain that is repeated 14 times. And you get the impression that the Buddha thought that was important. Important enough to say it 14 times. And this is what it says. In this way, one abides, contemplating the body internally and externally. One observes the nature of arising and passing away. Mindfulness is established to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and continuous mindfulness. And one abides independent, not clinging to anything in this world. It's so beautiful. So internally and externally, observing our internal experience and also observing it externally, outside of us. It talks about the nature of arising and passing away. It's pointing to impermanence. Breath, body, body sensations, everything changes. Moment to moment experience is impermanent, and impermanence is threaded right through. It's a characteristic of everything, every single thing. And so the Buddha's saying, notice that. That's a real portal for wisdom. He talks about bare knowledge. So seeing directly into our experience, unfiltered by anything. And abiding independent, not clinging to anything. So we can see how we grasp after life, we grasp after experiences, after people, we grasp after things. And we can see how to release that and let go. So if we just pay attention to that refrain, those instructions lead to the path of direct realization of mind and liberation from suffering. There's no mystery about it. It's very clear. It's a tried and true practice for 2,500 years. And this is the gift that's been passed on to us. So I invite you to just take up a period of mindfulness in the body, mindfulness of the body, and to enter into that great well of silence, grounded in the breath and the body.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.